This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome back to BXB, the Bronx Baseball Podcast. C-Mac and K-Mac. And the baseball is coming back to the Bronx this weekend. But before that, we got to talk about this road trip that was. Chris was on a little bit of a road trip himself, came back into this mess. I'm coming out of having a cold the last few days. I moved in the last 2 weeks. A lot going on personally and professionally. But here we are to talk about your New York Yankees. What's up, Chris?
What's going on, Keith? Yeah, no, I had a road trip. It started with the I was in the car listening to John and Susan for the Severino game against the Astros, which was fun. And then I got to try and keep an eye on while I'm, you know, my wife's yelling at me because I'm watching my phone at Epcot, watching the Yankees get, you know, trounced by the White Sox. It was a great experience. Honestly, I needed the week away, and I come right back into really the bottoming out and my first game back on the couch, being back to being my normal Yankee fan self, was the finale in Miami, which was a lot of fun. And in many ways, the bottoming out and the epitome of what this team has become, unable to do any, even when they have things right, even when they have their best players. Because you could argue Clay Holmes is one of their three or four best players this year. So even when they put themselves in a position to succeed, they find ways to fail, whether it's their best players, whoever it is, they're going to find a way to blow a game. And then they go into Atlanta and just give themselves absolutely no chance to even compete with the best team in baseball. So it's been a really nice 2 weeks since I spoke to you.
Yeah,
it's been really good.
I think, you know, the last time we had the podcast was after the last homestand, where I think we felt all right about coming out of the deadline and not being swept by the Rays, and then splitting the series with the Astros. I'm not sure if it was before that Astros.
Yeah,
series.
I think we had the live reaction to the Rizzo news was the last podcast we did. So it was it was before they.
That
split.
Seems so long ago now.
I know. So much has happened. So many good positive things. So right now it's just I talked about it on the show last night. I know you've been under the weather, but last night for me, this is now officially, you know, they're under a game under 500 this late in the season. You know, hasn't been since 1995. I mean, this is a low point, I think, for Yankee fans in the last 30 years. I mean, that's really how I feel my entire life. I'm going to be 40 years old in December. If you take in the amount of money they spent, the payroll they have, the expectations they had, the idea of so many pieces on the roster that you can't move on from being part of the main problem and looking to what can they possibly do in the future. I mean, this is as low a point I think they've had since 1992. I started watching the Yankees on a regular basis. The first year I remember in my mind is 1993. So I've been 30 years watching the Yankees. I don't know if I've ever felt worse about them than I do at the moment right now.
Yeah, that's why I say a lot on air and online. Like I say, men lie, women lie, numbers don't. Like, how many more numbers do you need to see to tell you that what you're seeing is all-time bad? This is an all-time low. So, you know, most of the Yankee fans, even like our age or younger, this is the worst season they've seen. I don't remember the 95 season. And one thing I always say about the 99 season is earlier and earlier is that, like, I didn't see Donnie Baseball play. You know, I would have loved to see him step in the batter's box. I hear about it, but I've had to watch that on YouTube and you know, documentaries and Yankeeography. But yeah, the Yankees fall below 500, and the latest or the last time that they did that was September 5th, 1995. No. But that team was able to figure it out. That team was able to get to the wild card. I don't think this team is figuring it out.
No.
And it sucks to say it, but like this is it. Like, you couldn't go on the road and go 2-7. For all the folks that were holding out hope at like 3.5 games back, the schedule's not going to get much easier. Nobody feels sorry for the New York Yankees besides themselves. So, like, at this point, I think we're all just looking for who to blame, and I think it starts at the top, and not Brian Cashman.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously Cashman. Everybody fire Cashman. Those T-shirts are going to sell, and those T-shirts are probably going to be good and fashionable until, I don't know, next June. Right. Yeah. But Hal definitely has to take blame in a lot of this. I think that they're disconnected. I think there's an identity crisis. And I think that Hal having, you know, a $7 billion franchise, but even mentioning being under the luxury tax, like there's a disconnect there. Hal Steinbrenner going after a advertiser to put a $25 million patch on the jerseys, but then still talking about a luxury tax threshold of saving $1.5 million. You know, I think a lot of times Brian Cashman talks about what he can do and what he can't do with the budget.
Yeah.
And since there is a budget, I think it's made Brian Cashman feel like he's got to get creative or try to finesse or make some cheap bargain bin clearance rack type moves. And it hasn't worked out well. And not just this year. It's been years that have led up to this year, and now you're finally starting to see that the Yankees, they're disconnected. They don't know who they are anymore, and it starts at the top with Hal and then Cashman. Those two, I think those two are both at fault.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. Everyone inside the organization is at fault. But, I mean, what what I'll say about Hal, though, while I agree with you, and there are times where he could have done more. And I agree, the idea of once you get to this point, like, I do think it's somewhat reasonable. I mean, they're putting in these luxury tax rungs and penalties for a reason. I mean, even Steve Cohen is going to adhere to them at some point. Everyone has a budget. And I don't think necessarily looking at the budget that Hal Steinbrenner has an unreasonably low budget. Could it be more? Yeah. When you get to this point in the season to worry about the $1 million, then that's where I agree with you. To try and save a season or try and save the franchise from where we are, that should not be a thought. But overall, in his thinking, there is no owner in baseball, there is no owner in sports that won't have a budget. No matter how much money the Yankees make, there's going to be a budget. And I think the money he's put in is relatively good enough to be better than they are. So I'm disappointed that he's still talking about budgets and luxury tax in the middle of a crisis. But overall, like I had a caller last night who thinks he wishes they would sell the team. I don't necessarily see it that way. I'm fine. I think the Steinbrenners are willing. They're not going to, and I don't think they have to. I think Brian Cashman's much more to blame in this than Hal Steinbrenner is. Hal Steinbrenner still, like, you know, in 2019, they have the season. They go out and steal the ace away from the team that beat them and bring Cole here for $326 million. He went out and got the Giancarlo Stanton contract. Like, he very rarely says just absolutely no.
But see, Chris, that's what I'm saying, where I think there's a disconnect. I think there's sometimes certain players, Giancarlo Stanton, Garrett Cole, Yeah. Aaron Judge, Hal Steinbrenner's like, yeah, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
But then once you do that, then it's like, okay, now we have to finesse and finagle the rest of the spots.
Yeah.
Where last year, you clearly needed a left fielder.
Yeah, no doubt.
And there were some left fielders available.
Mm-hmm.
But Cashman decided that Oswaldo Cabrera and Aaron Hicks were good enough. That they were under control. They were under the payroll. They were good enough. And that taking that shortcut comes back to bite you, even at third base, right? An allocation of funds. There's no way in hell that you needed to put a washed up Josh Donaldson on this team that cost you over $20 million this season.
No, no, it was a terrible
trade. There's a disconnect between what Hal is saying they can spend and what Brian Cashman does. And I don't understand how that happens. I don't understand how they're not in lockstep on every move, every way. I feel like there's a disconnect. I feel like Hal says, hey, here's your allowance.
Right.
And then Cashman goes and spends like 80 or 90% on you know, one or two players, and then only has 10% to use on the rest of the team. And then when the team fails, Hal's like, oh, well, it's only June. It'll work out. Like, nobody was expecting them to be this bad this year.
No. I think everyone thought they were going to be a playoff team. They were projected
to win the division.
They were projected to win the division. It was the rotation, really, that's not falling apart. But, yeah. No, I agree. I'm very frustrated. And obviously, yeah, I mean, I think Brian Cashman's done a horrendous job the last 2 years. I don't think there's any way around it. From the Donaldson trade to the trade deadline of last year, trading for injured pitchers.
Frankie Montas. Let's talk about that for a second, Chris.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. All of these things lead us to here. Yeah. Last year, you traded away pitching depth. You had guys that were top prospects that were ready to become starters. You traded them away for a Frankie Montas and a Lou Trevino. They haven't helped the team at all this year. They haven't pitched. Even with a rental in Andrew Benintendi to fix left field, that was your second attempt. You went and got Joey Gallo, who, you know, another thing I want to say, because I always hear like Evan say this on the radio about like, oh, fans applauded that. It does not matter what moves the fans applaud. Fans applauded Carlos Rodon signing. It is on them to do their due diligence. It's like they don't look at these guys' medical records. It's like they don't do any deep dives into these guys' psychology and like whether they'll be able to perform under pressure here. And then when it goes bad, it's just like, oh, well, we'll pivot to the next guy. Or even in last year's deadline, when we all thought, uh-oh, we're going to get Luis Castillo and pair him with Gerrit Cole, and he'll be here this year and next year. Well, the Mariners jumped in front of you because they were willing to give up prospects that you weren't. That didn't mean you had to pivot to a Frankie Montas, and you did. And you gave away three starting pitching prospects that you could have used this year when your pitchers went to shit. When you lost Nestor Cortez, when you lost Luis Severino, and then he came back completely lost. Yeah. And then Rodon half the year wasn't available. You needed a JP Sears. You needed a Ken Waldichuk. You needed a Luis Medina. Luckily, you have a Randy Vasquez and a Johnny Brito. But even the way you've deployed them hasn't been right. And when you said earlier, everybody's at fault. Yeah, everybody's at fault too. Boone is probably going to get fired this season because they need a sacrificial lamb. But maybe not. I was actually having a thought too. They're all in lockstep. Like not in lockstep on their decision-making because there's a disconnect. We don't know who's in charge, how all of this nonsense has come out of there. But I feel like they're in this together and they're willing to take on the world and say, we got hit with injuries. We'll be better next year. We're running it back with Boone. We're running it back with Cashman. And Hal Steinbrenner doesn't want to fire anybody.
No, listen, Cashman's not going anywhere. I firmly believe. I'm at the point now where I think it makes more sense to let him go than not. I've come full circle on it. I've admitted my mistake. He's been that bad. But he's not going anywhere. And I've been saying this for the last couple of days. I don't see a point in firing Boone if you're going to keep Cashman. Are you really going to allow Cashman to hire another manager? Who do you think he's going to hire? You think he's going to go hire
Mark DeRosa? Somebody on the fan said Mark DeRosa.
Right. Everyone, which makes me laugh. And nothing against Mark DeRosa. He might be a great manager.
Another TV guy. How well has Sean Casey done so far?
He's exactly what Aaron Boone was. He's a former MLB player who's now working for TV. Like, that's exactly what Boone was. You think he's going to come in there and tell the Yankees what's what? Like, no. And tell Brian Cashman, no, we don't do it this way. Not in my house. Like, if you're going to hire me, I run the show. Like, that's not what's going to happen. So for me, and I don't think Boone is to blame in this, really. I mean, you watch the team. You think it's Boone. Like, they just played the Braves, right? And everyone talked about, look at the difference between the Braves and the Yankees. I mean, do you think it's because the manager is that much better? Like, is that what happened? Did the Yankees get outclassed at manager in these three games? Or did you watch a roster up and down that is far superior? Do you think if Snitker was the Yankee Ryan manager – would be better. Do you think if
he doesn't have to manage much? There's not much to do.
If Bruce Bochy, who in my opinion is the best manager in baseball, has three World Series championships and has kind of, you know, set the Rangers on a great start here, do you think the Yankees would be, you know, in the first wild card, or like we'd be licking our chops, getting ready to get a playoff series going right now if he were the manager? It wouldn't make a difference. Like, Boone is not the problem. He's not. There is no solution, so he's certainly not that. But. And if they fire Brian Cashman, then you have to fire Aaron Boone. I'm fine for cleaning house. That's probably what should happen, but it's not going to. So if they're not firing Boone, but here's the one thing I will say, people are going to get mad at me. I'm on the record. The thing that probably should happen is clean house. They're not going to fire Brian Cashman. I think a lot of the problem with the Yankees is they looked at last year, and whether you saw it coming, whether I saw it coming, whether the fan base saw it coming or not, they deemed last year as somewhat successful. They won 99 games, won the toughest division in baseball that had three playoff teams in it, and were one of the final four and lost to the World Series champs. Yep. They don't see that. No matter how the second half played out, they were able to tell themselves, hey, we lost Benintendi and we lost LeMahieu. That's part of the reason why the second half looked the way it did. It's part of the reason why we weren't competitive in that series.
Michael King as well.
You know, Michael King as well. I mean, he was one of the most dominant relievers in the sport for a while. And that's why you could play that game and go back to the last 200 and tell me we're 100 and 101 or whatever. Like, a lot of that was injuries last year. The first half, we were the best team in baseball, and we made it to the final four. Matt Carpenter. Yeah, exactly. Matt Carpenter breaks his foot. So there's a lot of reasons that the Yankees could tell themselves. Whether they're right or wrong, at least in my mind, I can say, all right, I disagree with you, but you have an argument. You have at least some kind of ability to say,
I see where you went wrong.
I can see how you felt that way, even though I think you were being too gracious to yourself. At least you can make the case that, yeah, they were somewhat. Then all these things happened. It's almost like the Rizzo thing. He was a good player. Then there was the line of demarcation and something happened. And then from that point on, they were bad. You can point to all those injuries and say to yourself, look at what we were. Then look what happened, look what we became, and yet still 99 wins, win a division, get to the ALCS. And I'm just telling you their thought process. So I think when coming off that season, they told themselves, hey, we can retool this thing. We'll add that great starting pitcher. And yeah, we'll probably still struggle a little bit offensively and certainly in left field. We'll attack it at the deadline because we'll be winning enough considering the rotation where I'll be able to go out there and really attack the deadline and feel good about trading prospects for a legitimate left fielder. And the rotation, Frankie Montas is our number five. Severino has been nothing but an ace every time he stepped foot on the mound. Nestor Cortez has been a revelation for the last 2 years. And we just signed the number three best pitcher according to Major League Baseball last year heading into the season, and Carlos Rodon. And King is coming back. The bullpen's good. We have a legitimate rotation, and we'll probably end up relying on that more than the offense, but we have the best player in baseball in Judge, and we'll get through until the deadline. That's what they told themselves. I still believe, as crazy as I am, if Brian Cashman is retained at GM, he can't have those same discussions anymore. Right. He can't look at this team now and make those arguments. They have completely fallen on their face. It's going to be the worst team he's ever put together. And that's with Vernon Wells hitting cleanup in different years. And that's with, you know, I mean, this is the worst.
Lyle
Overbay at first, Chase Headley at third, Vernon Wells in the middle of the lineup. And this is the worst that he's ever had in his entire tenure at GM. So he can't have that same opinion moving forward. And Stephen whether or not
Drew at shortstop.
Right. And whether or not he's made mistakes over the last few years, he has. I still don't believe he is a bumbling idiot. He's been doing it too long. I know they've been in one World Series in 20 years. It's not good enough. And again, move on from him. I'm all on board. But they're not going to.